Captain Henry Evelyn Arthur Platt continued. Letter, 4th of May, 1915. Here we are back at the farm whence we started this, and our sphere of usefulness is again confined to standing to. When we first got orders to move from here, I quite thought it was a surprise show to see if we could turn out quiet. However, I took no risks, luckily, and sallied forth, all prepared. Then occurred those events which I told you in a letter describing our term a slight activity. I think I may say we are fairly mobile by now and ready for whatever comes along. The cavalry concentration seems to go without a hitch, and you know I am no lavish giver of praise, and it must be fairly difficult to concentrate a large mounted force. As to the situation, we hear the Hun tried his old gas trick on our lads, but they left their trenches on D, and then, when the Hun tried to follow up, our artillery fairly let them have it, and our people retook their trenches with the bayonet. This may be gossip, but one always gets bad news at the back behind, and if any good comes through, there's a strong reason for it. At any rate, it shows we aren't in a funk of their dirty tricks. Yes, I should think Ashton Heap's account of Popperingay, where the colour came from, is quite correct. Many thanks for the respirators, which I shall take on the limbers in case we're for the trenches. I hear respirators have arrived for the other squadrons as well. Don't be downhearted about the French terriers and the yellow gas. The new million cannot be like these fat old men. They will fight well. Letter, 12th of May, 1915. The regiment is digging, and Francis Big and self are with the led horses. Ernest Noven, commanding the brigade, led horses. He and I mess together, and we have a table and two chairs in a field, somewhere in France, and the horse is tied to a hedge nearby. Tonight Francis is honouring us by coming to dinner. I enclose a menu. We dine, DV, the Huns permitting, at 8:30 p.m. It is now 6:15 p.m, and our mess cook says it is too short notice. I told him he was lucky to have so much time. As I told you, I was very proud to have a job of my own at last, and enjoyed every second of it, so I don't mind not being offered it this time. There's not much news as far as we hear. The French must have had a real big success, La Bassée Woods, from all accounts. Our friends, the 5th Division cyclists, looked in this evening. They had been with the Canadians when the French went back. I said the Canadians were beyond all praise. They were at Brigade HQ when they were told to retake the guns. Everybody came up and patted the general on the back and said, "That will be all right, old chap." He in turn was telephoning to the divisional general and saying, "That's all right, old man." When things were at their almost worst, he said quite calmly to my friend, pointing meanwhile to the map, "There, you see we have no guns there and no men. Now go and see what you can do for us, old chap." My friend went off and guns were sent off. He says that although the losses were heavy, the men left alive were full of heart and wanted to have another go in. Some very small remnant of a battalion came to brigade at headquarters and said, "We saw we were too few to hold that line, so we thought we'd better roll up here to find what to do." There's no doubt they saved a very nasty situation by standing firm. I am sure these masks will counter the fumes, also the bicarbonate. Letter, 17th of May, 1915. I am delighted to tell you I have not been back with the led horses for the last few days. Thank the Lord I've been up with the troops. The Huns have not attacked where we are, so we spent our time improving our trenches. As I told you, comparisons are existent out here. There are good divisions, and divisions not equally good. The guards, like the Romans of old, turned every line they held into a fortress, where other divisions don't. They squat there in sloth, and are content to be miserable. I think the 19th Royal Hussars have made the line they hold by 100%. The weather, on the whole, has been good. I write you an account of taking over a line later. It was a great moment when our relief turned up, and we are now safely back and full of heart. Thanks for the respirators, which we luckily do not have to use. The bout in the trenches that we came up for was the second the 19th Hussars has done. In the first bout, Biscuit, Tremaine, David, in fact all of them, did very well. I hear one regiment, in rare trouble, was heard to remark, "It's CO, I mean. Ah, here's the 19th Hussars coming up now. We'll be all right." And come up they did, regardless of anything but getting there. Francis's poem, "Very Well Done, Danke." As to my turning up, do you know, I'm sure you won't want me till this show is over. The bon Dieu will see that you are kept happy. I just must do some good out here first. After all, I have a certain amount of experience now. As to telling you news, I honestly cannot at the present. We are standing to in billets 1 second, and up at Ypres the next. No time for anything, and once up, there's the devil of a lot to do for the first few days. But it's a good life, and a full one. And Gott strafe the led horses. I hope to God I shall not be left with them again. In addition to importuning the deity, I do not need to be. Letter, May the 26th, 1915, Gast. 6 a.m. Not with the ruddy led horses. You will be interested to hear you are married to a relentless animal who is entirely regardless of other people's lives as well as his own. I somehow thought that though in a funk about being hit by the fist, I would not mind bullets. Now I know for certain I don't. So that is good. Yesterday morning, at 3 a.m, just as I had handed over our line northwest of to the 9th Lancers, Noel Edwards said quite suddenly, "By God, there's the gas!" We dashed on our respirators. We were in a hollow, and although we stood up and danced about, we would all have been overcome where we stood if we had not shifted. So I went back to a trench 300 to 200 yards behind us and danced on a parapet. Thank God, after 10 minutes, a blessed breeze seemed to lift the choking blindness damnation that was on us, and we could lift our respirators for a second or two. It came on again for another period, I don't know how long, but not so thick. Then it gradually cleared. We rallied the men and took them back to the first line trench and shot like the deuce to show we were not afraid of the brutes. And all along the line, men were doing the same. The Hun did not come on. He might possibly have broken through if he had, but I rather doubt it. The ground was not level, and people in higher ground, they tell me, were practically untouched. At any rate, the people left who had been gassed were seeing red, and they'd have had to shoot down everyone where he stood. I then went to see how our left was, as I could not find Noel Edwards. It was very weakly held in places, but our gallant infantry that were left were entirely unafraid, and I got them to open out till we got in touch with her. Funnily enough, I had dreamt a greater part of these happenings, and I have always told people I should fight again at Le Chateau, where we had led the horses in November. I still think a bigger push will be made there by Hindenburg, and I believe I shall be there to help stop the brute. When I got back to our headquarters, and as the Huns were not attacking, I lay down and rested. In the evening, having done a bit to help things on, I retired according to orders and rejoined. I found, however, that though I could walk well enough, my breath was a bit short, so I reported to hospital, where I have been detained. My own, I do not think I have ever lied to you, and I give you my word I am not bad. As you know, there are degrees in everything, and my degree of illness is very slight. There are thousands worse than me working on, but as you know, when I am ill, I like to get better quick. I ought to be right in a week, so there. Now, my own, don't worry. I am in a sunlit garden in Red Cross pyjamas, cracking bucks, jokes, to an enraptured audience who appreciate my frivolities. I'm well, I'm very well, and have added confidence in my abilities. I don't get muddled, as I thought I would. Sorry for all these eyes, but having been treated as an inconsequential child, I wanted something to reassure me. If all goes well, I hope to rejoin the 19th Hussars in a week's time, and I hope to counterattack the ruddy Hun and so complete my dream. I am happier than I have been for weeks, nay months. My breathing is easier. I've wired for Paternal to bring my kit. She'll have bath, shave, hair oil, and be okay. Dear Mrs. Platt, a line to tell you that I've just seen your husband, who has been severely attacked by the German gas. He is not bad, but will have to be taken great care of for some time, and I expect you will see him back in England next week. With kindest remembrances, yours, Anthony A. Bowlby. Nineteenth Hussars War Diary, May to October 1915. 19th Hussar Roll of Officers. Major G. A. Everton, commanding. Died of wounds, 13th of May, 1915. Captain H. E. McFarlane, Adjutant. Lieutenant and QM, R. E. Bird. A Squadron. Major A. W. Parsons, Squadron Commander. Survived war. Captain H. E. A. Platt, Hospital gas poisoning, 24th of May, 1915. Captain G. Osborne, Lieutenant E. G. Davidson, Lieutenant G. R. Mitchell Innes, Second Lieutenant C. W. H. G. Codrington. B Squadron, Major G. D. Franks, Squadron Commander, killed 8th of October, 1918. Major M. Archer Shee, DSO, MP. Captain J. C. W. Francis, wounded, 24th of May, 1915. Lieutenant W. T. M. Balifo, killed, 24th of May, 1915. Lieutenant G. T. Hanmer, Second Lieutenant F. M. Lutman Johnson, Second Lieutenant R. G. Russell, 9th Lancers, attached. C Squadron, Captain H.O.S.F. Tanner, Squadron Commander, Lieutenant C.H. Tremaine, Second Lieutenant A.E. Sturdy, Second Lieutenant H.H. Oxley. Machine Gun Section, Lieutenant R.H.N. Settle. From the 9th to the 14th of May, 1915, Captain H.E.A. Platt was in B Echelon, with 2nd Lieutenant Codrington, Captain Francis, and Lieutenant Beige. From the 18th to the 24th of May, Captain H.E.A. Platt was in charge of A Squadron, with Lieutenant Davidson and 2nd Lieutenant Codrington. Major G.D. Franks was CO from the 20th to the 22nd, and Major A.W. Parsons, DSO, was CO 22nd to 24th of May, 1915. 13th of May, 1915, 4:15 a.m. An exceptionally heavy bombardment by the enemy began, which went on almost unceasingly till dark. During the morning, the line on the south side of the Potiguar-Ypres road was broken. About 12:15 p.m., the regiment was ordered to extend to the right up the Potiguar road so as to take over trenches of Essex Yeomanry. 1:40 p.m. received orders to take up position along the Potiguar-Ypres road and support counterattack by the 10th Hussars. 13th of May 1915, 9 p.m. A and B squadron ordered to reoccupy original advanced line south of the Potiguar-Ypres road. 14th of May, 1 a.m. ordered to withdraw the two squadrons and make a new line on south side of Potiguar-Ypres road in continuation of Bayeux trenches. 2 a.m. commenced digging and managed by splendid effort on the part of the men to get well dug in by 3:15 a.m. relieved after dark and marched back near Vlamertinghe. 15th of May, Vlamertinghe. 1st Cavalry de Lille addresses the regiment, complimenting them on their good work. 18th of May, marched and took over trenches in Sanctuary Wood, south of Hoog, relieving part of 27th. 19th of May, remained in trenches and improved them. 20th of May, remained in trenches. 21st of May, remained in trenches. Major G. D. Franks rejoined and resumed command of regiment. 22nd of May, remained in trenches. 23rd of May, 11 p.m. relieved by 9th Lancers. Relief finished about 12:30 a.m. A and B squadrons marched back to the Ecole de Bienfaisance, just east of Ypres. C squadron went into reserve GHQ line on south side of Menin Road, close to the halt. Captain Platt remained in trenches with 9th Lancers. 2:55 a.m. effect of enemy's gas were felt. 3:30 a.m. A and B squadron marched from the Ecole up to GHQ line near Holt, arriving there 4 a.m. C squadron, which had originally been in the GHQ line and had temporarily withdrawn on account of gas, rejoined the GHQ line. 5:15 a.m. B squadron was dispatched to gain touch with and assist the 18th Hussars in the advanced trenches north of Menin Road. 7 a.m. A squadron were ordered to move up to the support of the 18th Hussars. 11 a.m. Owing to line being broken on the flank of the 18th Hussars trenches, A and B squadron withdrew to GHQ line. 11:30 a.m. GHQ line was reorganized. 19th Hussars holding from Menin Road southwards. 115 men and machine gun section in touch with Yorkshire Hussars on right. Heavily shelled most of the day. 25th of May, 12:45 a.m. Regiment left GHQ line and marched via Lille Gate to Hub near Vlamertinghe, arriving there 3:30 a.m. Until the 5th of August 1915, they remained in billets at Ledringham. On the 4th of August, they received orders for the regiment to furnish 240 diggers. Digging party will include one cook, one sanitary man, one policeman, one cyclist, and one officer's mess cook. The remainder of the party will all dig. Each man will take up with him two bandoliers, smoke helmet, and respirator. Squadrons will take up their authorized number of picks and shovels. Captain Platt will command the detachment. 5th of August 1915. Regiment furnished 6 officers and 240 other ranks for digging party. Proceeded to Elverdinghe area by motor bus. Lieutenant Colonel G. D. Franks in command of brigade digging party. Captain H.E.A. Platt, in command of regimental digging party. The remainder of the regiment, under the command of Major A.W. Parsons, D.S.O., remained in billet. 20th of August 1915, part of digging party relieved from billets. Captain Platt relieved by Captain F.T. Alexander, in command, regimental digging party. Headquarters, 6th Corps, the 5th of September 1915. I hope you will express to your division the gratitude of the 6th Corps for the very great assistance they have rendered to them. It is not only the good solid work that they have done, but also the high example they have set. Their unselfish devotion to the performance of what well might have been regarded as a duty and which was outside their role has won the admiration of us all. Please express to all ranks our most sincere and heartfelt thanks. J. A. Keir, Lieutenant General. 27th of October 1915. Regiment remained in billets. Captain H. E. A. Platt struck off strength on transfer to Coldstream Guards. In October 1915, after a dispute with his major, he transferred to the Coldstream Guards, 2nd Company, 1st Battalion. The following letters and case history detail the dispute.